Thank you for that. We are back in our discipleship books here, and we are on the Battle Ready chapter. It's chapter number 5, and we've already taken a couple weeks on this. We mentioned by way of introduction review that we as Christians have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, and that enemy is Satan, and he is someone we'll never be able to make peace with. We'll always have battles we cannot avoid, and that's just how it is. So if that is the case, we have an enemy, there's going to be battles, we cannot avoid them, then we have to be ready. And so that's what we're talking about. We're looking in Ephesians chapter number 6. It talks about the spiritual warfare and the armor of God. We were in the section that we were talking about. We were mentioning what we need to understand about the armor. We've previously said that it helps us to stay strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We mentioned that we need God's power, continuing in verse 10, and in the power of his might, not ours. We also said that we must choose to wear the armor. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He doesn't force us. If we're going to wear it, it's because we have decided to suit up. We've decided to wear it. And then we finished last week by saying we must understand who isn't our enemy. That's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We tend sometimes to look at those that, sometimes we would say, in a sense, they're doing Satan's work for him. It's just people that Satan has got caught up in his philosophies and what he's trying to get into this world, and we see them as the enemy when really they're not the enemy. The enemy is the one who's behind the false beliefs. The enemy is the one who's behind all of that, and that enemy is Satan. Fact of the matter is, we are not, we really are supposed to win people to the Lord who are not on his side. So that's our little review. Let's get to the new stuff here. We must be committed to the battle. You can put the armor on and still not fight. Just because you have the armor, understand the armor, doesn't mean you are actually in the battle. How many of you have ever been to any type of sporting event, right? What do a lot of the fans do? They all sit there and they wear, the last event we went to a football game, and everybody there was wearing their team's jersey, right? We went to a Chargers game this year, and I thought it was a Chargers home game, but 70% of the people were wearing Raiders gear, okay? But they wear their jerseys, and they wear but it's like, you're not playing. You don't need a jersey. You're just wearing it, and you wear a football jersey without the stuff underneath it, it's really big on you. But they sit there, and they can paint themselves up. They can wear a helmet. They're not getting on the field. Right, they're just sitting there watching it in the stands. The guys in the field, they're doing the work. The same is true for us. We need to not just understand the armor. We need to not just understand the weapon, all of it. We need to put it on and get into action. We need to get up and get off the bench. We need to be part of the battle. And God has given us everything we need for the battle. We take the armor for one reason: that we may put it to use as we stand for the Lord, which means we stand for truth, and that we're willing to put forth the spiritual effort, really the fight it takes to do the things we are supposed to do. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what he's saying. Take the armor on so you can go to battle. Let's give you an illustration from the Bible. When David went, his dad had him take food to his brothers who were on the front lines. They were all suited up. They were there on at the, you know, their side was all lined up. They're ready for battle. They got everything they needed, their gear, their weapons. And on the other side was the Philistines. And David shows up, and they're all just standing there. Now, I don't know if you remember when we were kids. Well, hopefully you go to Christian school that this doesn't happen. But when we were not in Christian school, public school, people, two guys that they'd want to fight, and they'd just sit there and stare at each other. How many of you remember those? What did we call them? We'd say, come on, this isn't a staring contest. You know, they wanted to fight, but when they got in front of each other, they didn't really want to have anything to do with it. Well, when David shows up, they're having a staring contest. And they're on this side, they're on that side, and here comes Goliath. And Goliath starts talking trash, and Goliath starts cutting down God and God's army and blaspheming, all that stuff, and the army backed down. They didn't have anything to do with it. They were suited up. They were there where the battle was to take place, and yet it took David, who didn't even have a uniform. When David finally says, who's this guy? And they're like, oh, that's a guy. And the king said, if you kill him, you can have all this stuff. And he's like, I'll do it. Well, this guy needs to shut his mouth. Someone needs to shut him up. And he went to Saul, and Saul goes, here, wear my armor. Now, Saul was a big guy. By the way, Saul should have been out there fighting, amen? He was the biggest guy in Israel. And he's like, it doesn't fit. I'm good. Let me have a couple rocks, my sling, and this guy's going down. He didn't even have the proper uniform, but he was willing to fight. I'd rather have someone willing to fight than someone that has everything they need and isn't willing to fight. And we need to make sure we're ready. We have to put this armor that we're going to talk about on, or else it does us no good. Next, we need all of the armor. God not only commanded us to make use of the armor, he wants us to make use of the complete armor. If we do not do so, we're not ready for combat. We need it all. You can't just go to battle with some of the armor. Take it all upon you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say just grab the pieces that you like. He says, man, be suited up. Get it all. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Because if not, in the area, and we'll mention some of them, if you don't have those pieces of the armor, that's where you're going to be weak. How many have ever heard of Achilles' heel? How many know what that is, right? They'll use it in sport. Oh, they got their Achilles' heel. Well, that's an old fable story of Achilles when he was born. It's a myth, mythological. They said when he was born, his mom, I think it was his mom, or had a dream or a prophecy that one day he was going to be killed in battle. So she didn't want him to. So she found this mythical, I think it was a river or lake, where if you dipped in that lake, you would be invincible in every area. So she dipped him, but she held him by his heel. And so his heel didn't get the immortality. And he was in battle, and he got shot by a poison arrow, and he died. But that was his weakness. Now, that's mythological. It's not true. But Satan is not going to attack us at our strengths. Satan is going to attack us at our weaknesses. Satan's not going to attack us where we have the strongest parts of our armor. He's going to attack us where we are vulnerable. And so we need to make sure that we take all of it. Remember, Satan attacks you at your weakest point. That's why when we talked about temptation, he finds out what your fleshly desires are. Now, there's some that are the same for everybody. But there are some that are particular to you. They're a little more stronger. Maybe some areas of your life you struggle to change. Maybe, some sins in your life before you were saved. That now you're saved. Those were the hardest ones for you to get rid of or deal with. He knows that's your weakness. That's where he's going to go after you. By the way, he goes after you when you're spiritually down. He's, you know, think of it. Think of where he'll go after you where you're just physically weak. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. That's when Satan came. Where did he attack Joseph? He attacked Joseph at his weakest spot. A young man who was ripped away from his family, who was taken away from his country, taken away from his home. Here he is, a lonely, lonely man. So what was the temptation that was thrown at him? Potiphar's wife, some Jezebel. And so he knows what's going on. Now, let's get to the next section. What are the individual pieces of the army? Of the armor. So we're in the army, we're out to gain victory, but we need to have the armor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about how that we are or soldiers. And soldiers are to do certain things to prepare themselves to be ready for battle. We're there to fight, that we're not there to waste our time. We're not there we're not there spinning our wheels. We're there for victory. And if something doesn't relate to it, then let's stay away from it. We need all the armor of God. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not easy, right? We live in easy times. And no one, whenever someone comes up against something that's difficult, they back down. If something doesn't go their way, we can't even, the average person in our country can't even disagree with something without, oh, you're assaulting me. I need a safe space. You're mentally, it's like, no, I disagree with you. You can't handle that? I'm to be honest with you, I'd be fearful if our country was in a war. Most of our soldiers now, with what they're trying to do, they'd go out there swinging their purses. And I'm not talking about the ladies in the army. We're just weak. Not you. You wouldn't swing your purse, I'm pretty sure. He doesn't want to break it. But you have to endure hardness. Okay, it's not supposed to be easy. So what are some of these pieces? Let's look at them. The first one is the girdle of truth. I don't think of it like what your wife wears, okay? The girdle of truth. The girdle is a belt that would hold some of the pieces of the armor in place. That's why the girdle is truth. It's that belt that prepared him for battle. It helped to hold the other things in place. That's the starting point. If we're going to win this spiritual battle, the starting point is the armor of truth. You know why? Because truth is the starting point of faith. And what is Satan's, I think we talked about it in one of the previous weeks. I think I have the verse in here for this section. What is Satan's main tool he uses against us? Deceit. He's a liar. Everything he tells us is a lie. He started it with Eve. What did God say? You sure he said that? Nah, you're not going to die. A lie. Deceitfulness. He lies to us. You know, is serving God, he'll lie to you young people. You serve God, you give God your life, you're missing out on life. No, you're not. You're tying into life. You're tying into the best life that you can live. So that girdle of truth, that is the foundation. And we're not, you can't, look, sometimes and you can't be deceitful as a Christian if you're trying to win a battle. When I was in Bible college, I got a new guy on my bus ride. He was a freshman, his first year in college. So we were out in the bus ride, let's go soul winning. We knocked on the door, and it's like, it's your turn, talk to her. And he talked to a lady, and she said, oh, I'm a Catholic. He goes, I'm a Catholic too. And I'm like, I've seen the side of our bus. It said First Baptist Church. It didn't say First Catholic Church. And then he's done talking to her and we left. And I'm like, what was that all about? That was a lie. He goes, oh, no, it wasn't. The word Catholic means universal. And he tried to explain to me why it wasn't a lie. I'm like, Doc, that was a lie. When you told her you were Catholic, she thought you were from the Catholic Church. And you believe Catholic doctrine. You tried to lie to her so you could talk to her about the truth. Think about that one for a minute. Okay, were you going to invite her to church after you witnessed to her? Oh, I'm from First Baptist Church. Well, I thought you were a Catholic. We don't use Satan's methods. Okay, we have to be honest and upfront in everything we do. He's a liar. And so that's why, really, in our society, it's all. You look at all the hot button issues in our society. I'm not going to go through them. But if you look at all of them, the reason our society is on the wrong side of the argument, not argument, what the wrong side of it, is because they believe a lie. They're just absolutely believing a lie? A lie. Well, it's not a baby, it's a blob. They all know better. But someone, they've been taught that in our public school system, by the way, since the time they were little. Go watch an ultrasound. I remember, we helped start a church in Florida years ago, and of all things, they had a Christian drive-in movie theater. It was free. So we would all go. And it was good movies. They had one, and then what they would do, they'd had a little, like here was a screen, and then there was like a little office next to it with glass, and then after the movie, the glass would light up, and a guy would witness to you. I mean, he gave the gospel. But I remember one time they had one on abortion. I think it was somebody in the medical profession that's like, no, it's not a baby, blah, blah. Like, ultrasound of the abortion. They showed the baby hopping around as they tried to kill it. And the doctor said, I had enough, and he walked out. That's the truth. See, what people do is we believe a lie. And everything in our society, all these lame, hot button woke issues, because people have bought a lie. And that's why when you try to talk to them about it, which a lot of times is just a waste of time, they won't talk to you about it from the truth angle, because they can't defend their position. You cannot logically defend the position that if you're a guy, you can say you're a girl, and that just makes you a girl. You can't logically, right? Whatever happened to follow the science? You can't logically defend that. There's a little video clip that went around. I saw it on one of the social medias, and one of the senators, I think, was talking about it to some professor. And when he called her on it, and he was being really kind, she's like, oh, it's that kind of feeling that makes them go commit suicide. It's like, we weren't talking about suicide. He goes, I just asked you a question. Because they can't defend the truth. They've been fed a lie so much, they won't even try. So everything that's going on in our society, it's all built on lies. Even in the church, we believe lies sometimes. We have to be very, very, very careful. Because you have to understand that truth only comes from God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. This is just the first part. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. By the way, how do you know you're on the right side of any position when you know the absolute truth? Right? Well, you think, you know, you'll talk to somebody about something. Well, you think you know everything? You think you can decide for everybody? No, I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know a lot. But God knows everything. I'm just telling you what he said. Well, you're saying that? I said, no, I just, you know. So if you don't think that a man should marry another man, do you hate them? You're a whatever-a-phobe? No, I'm just, God said that. I know I'm on the right side of the battle. You know why? Because I'm just following his truth. Now, if I were to follow, you know, something I believe, Steve-ology, right? I don't know if I'm on the right side of truth. It's just something coming from me. But when I know I'm following God, I know I'm on the right side of truth. And by the way, there's a confidence in being on the right side of truth. You know how come we can be confident in our salvation? Because we didn't make it up on our own. We're following what the Bible says. And so our salvation is secure as the truth of the Word of God, so we can have eternal assurance. But the reason people, they don't, by the way, that's why, and I'm saying this kindly, if you may be a newer Christian, that's why maybe some of you struggle in some things, because you don't know the truth. You're not studying the truth, and somebody throws something at you, and it twists you into a pretzel because you don't know the basics of the Scripture. But if we know the truth, it all falls into place. As we mentioned, look at John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the key words there? The, which means one. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one truth about heaven. And there's only one eternal life. It's all through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then After we're saved, how do we live? Well, John 17, 17 answers that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And truth is very careful. I won't rehash it because Satan's a liar. But when we know the truth, we know a lie. We know a lie. I remember when I think it was Jessica. Jessica was maybe 4 or 5. We were driving in a car. I think I was listening to something. It mentioned evolution. And just as a little kid, she goes, "What's evolution?" And I'm like, "It's the belief that at one time we were monkeys. We were like animals, and we eventually became humans." And she started laughing. She goes, "Oh, come on, quit lying, Dad. What is it?" She wouldn't believe that I was being truthful when I told her that's what the belief is. A kid knows better. Now, I have met some people. I'm like, maybe, no. But the truth, we believe this stuff because we've been lied to over. No one is born an atheist. No one is born believing in evolution. We fall for the lies of Satan. And there's the verse there. Jesus said to a group of individuals, as sweetly as he could, "Ye are of your father the devil." The lust of the father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so the point there we need truth in our life. Nothing else is going to work if we don't have the staple of truth. It holds everything else together. Let's do another one here. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is the piece of armor that protects the heart. The heart must be guarded carefully if we are to live righteous lives. Right here. Okay. Arrows off. All that stuff. Protect it. Why? That's your heart's the key. You know, there's some key organs here, right? And so the breastplate of righteousness protects it. You know, you can protect what's coming at you. The heart, by the way, is not to be blindly followed, as the world tells us. It's supposed to be fiercely protected. It's not in the book, but Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, it's a vital organ and it must be protected because it can also be corrupted. It should never be followed. Okay? We soak everything in, not knowing how that changes our thinking. It changes our feelings. It changes how we see things. And then we're messed up. You see people sometimes like, "How can you believe that? How can you act like that? How can you believe that's the best course of action?" And by the way, everywhere you go, they all tell you, right? "What should I do in this? Should I marry this guy? I know he's on parole and he's killed 20 people and he doesn't have a job, but he's cute. Should I? Well, let me give you some advice. You know, I learned this in the Hallmark Channel. Follow your heart." Like, no, the guy's a loser. Let him go get a job first. Let him prove himself and love God. We don't follow our heart. Come on. How many of you have ever been lied to and you bought the lie before and found out later, man, that's a lie? Come on, let's be honest, all of us. We're like, why did I believe that? Because you fell for the externals. You know, go try to buy a car. "Hey, how you doing? Lovely children." It's like, I don't even think they're lovely, okay? He's just saying whatever he can to get you to listen to him. "This is a great deal. Tell you what, we only have 2 of these left." Yeah, right here, and there's 2,500 back there. They lie. They try to get you. And so don't follow your heart. If you let the garbage in, it's going to be taken a different direction. And it's going to lead you a wrong direction. The effectiveness in a soldier in battle will be determined largely by the way that he lives. It's not just a general breastplate. It's the breastplate of what? Righteousness. What does that mean? It's made up of righteousness. Have you thought about that? I mean, well, you would want a breastplate of titanium or whatever the hardest metal is, right? It's like, you know, I don't want a breastplate of paper. That's not going to stop anything. I want a breastplate of the hardest thing you can find. And I'm going to hold that bad boy up there. It's the breastplate of righteousness. That's why your effectiveness will be determined by your righteousness. You look at soldiers when they go. They have physical training. Why? They want them to be able to endure. They have mental training. They need education in the ways of warfare and the ways of their weapons. And they just need practical training. This is how we fight, this is where we fight, and this is what we do when we fight. They need to be ready. The same is true for Christians. But the way that we live our lives will determine our effectiveness against the enemy. An unholy life makes for a horrible soldier. It does. You're not gonna, how can you win a spiritual battle against a sinful enemy when you're willingly living sinfully? That's a sign he's got you. That's a sign you don't get it. The breastplate, the protection in our life, think about it, is the way we live. Do you understand that? There are so many consequences to our actions in this world. There are so many consequences to our sin and our disobedience and the things we follow and the things we do that we're inviting the enemy in. And we're not defending them. Think of it. Righteousness is protection. And we get it when we stay obedient to Scripture. Satan's hold, he defeats us when we don't live right. You go into regular battles. Your fellow soldiers get shot. There's casualties. You know what the casualties are? People that choose to do their own thing. People that choose to go live off in sin. They're a casualty. At some point in their life, you know what they did? They put the righteousness, they took the righteous shield and they took it down. So now everything gets in. Oh, why is that wrong? I don't know. God said? It hurts. It causes pain. It brings you down. It starts you on a direction you don't want to go. Protection is built in to the way we live. If we live righteous, we're protected from sinning. I'm just telling you. Why do we want to see how close, and I talked about this, and I'm not going to rehash it Sunday night. If you weren't here, just listen, it's all there. But we want to see how close to that edge we can do and what we can get away with, what we can excuse, and then we do it. So what happens? If we're righteous, we are protected from sinning, which means we're protected from the consequences of sin because it has consequences. Nope, I'm under grace. I know. You'll go to heaven, but you'll pay the price here. You don't get away with it. And we're also protected from defeat. Why? Because we're not suffering the consequences. And the good thing is, we're protected from bondage. You get off in left field, what happens? The enemy can just get you. He's got you. You're captive now. The Bible talks about that. That is why convictions and standards are important. Okay, you take these things, truths of Scripture, and you boil it down to practical application of living. You're lifting the shield of righteousness. You're protected now. Well, I read it in the Bible, and I believe it. Okay, what are you doing to live it? Well, yeah. So you learn the truth of Scripture. From the truth of Scripture, you figure out what it's saying, and then you form a conviction, because here's how it should be for Christians. If God said it, I'm in. If God said it, I believe it. I'm not following my heart. I'm going to follow Scripture. So, okay, God said it. So my conviction is I believe whatever it said. Then we develop a standard. How am I going to live it? Oh, yeah, I don't like your standards. Well, that's just living Scripture. How are you going to live it? Well, I'm not supposed... Look, come on, let's not be sloppy here. If I'm going to live my life as a, I think the illustration we use on Sunday night was marriage. Marriage comes with regulations. So if I want to live my life, and I'm going to make it faithfully with my wife, 37 years so far, how many of them were good? We've been married 37 years so far. Then how do you do that? Okay, well, how about, here's one, I'm not going to watch pornography. Okay, I won't watch pornography. Okay, well then, I'm going to put guards on my phone. I'm going to be accountable. I'm not going to put a lock on my phone and no one's able to see what's inside there. I've been doing this for a long time. I've had people come to the office like, you know, I'm struggling with this area. I'm like, all right, your wife is going to help you with this. You're going to let her see your phone. What's my phone? I'm a man. I'm like, stop. You need accountability right now. And to be honest with you, I'm a little meaner than that. I'm like, you're going to go get a flip phone. You really want victory? Go get a flip phone. Like, if you came to me. I didn't go to you. Are you serious about this? Go get a flip phone. Don't put a computer somewhere where you're by yourself. See, are we serious about it? Well, then, I'm not going to talk with a woman that's not my wife. Now, I'll say hi to you in church, okay? I like you, you're fine, that's whatever. But I'm not going to get alone with some lady or start texting some lady or start calling some lady. That's nonsense, okay? And my wife, she does get on my phone. I don't know if she's checking on me, but she has my code. She can do it anytime she wants. It's laying right there. Go ahead, have a good time. I don't care. I got nothing to hide. I'm accountable on my schedule. I've told my wife, and I'm not saying that I couldn't because I could fall tomorrow, right? I'm human. But I have my schedule in such a way that if I were to try to do something wrong, it would be so out of the ordinary in my schedule, my wife would notice in a heartbeat. Like, wait a minute, you're not there at that time. What's going on? And then we have Life 360. She knows where I am all the time. She stalks me. It's ridiculous. You say, well, I'm a man. No one needs to know where I am. I'm accountable. I'm I'm not saying, but what we do is we have to develop. It's not just, okay, I'm not gonna steal. Well, then you know, put some safeguards, some standards up. Then we commit to following them. Now, sometimes we'll make standards and we just don't even follow them, right? Like, it's a nice list and it looks good in the drawer, but it's not happening. Follow it. And you know what happens when we do that? We're kept from sin and we're protected from the consequences. Let me say this and I'm done. The average Christian in this country experiences the same self-inflicted problems as an unsaved person because they have not deployed the breastplate of righteousness. Therefore, they don't have protections. Hey, look, if I'm going out in a gunfight, they're offering you a bulletproof vest, take that bad boy. Well, I'm a man. I don't need a bulletproof vest. I'll go to your funeral. Okay. I mean, you know, if this is going to help, I'm in. You know, but we're weak. And all we have to do is we have to know the truth and then just do what it takes to put it in our life. That breastplate is up. And I'm just telling you, most people, their breastplate of righteousness is in the closet. And we wonder why we struggle. Okay? And I mentioned it. Brother Johnson said it, and I'd never heard it that way. Job's hedge of protection really was built into the way he lived, right? That was his breastplate of righteousness. Say, look, if you're committed to doing what the Bible says and you have guards in place to make sure it happens, you're blocking a lot of that stuff off because you're doing the things that are keeping that from getting into you. And so be very careful about it. Let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for this evening, this good group on an off night, a Tuesday night. Help us to understand that you have what we need. You've provided what we need to live victorious as a Christian. I pray, Lord, that we would just, as we go through the next time we finish up with these pieces of the armor, that we would actually just put them into practice. They work. They work. We don't fight an enemy that's too strong for us to defeat, but we need your help. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.